Hello, Inclusive Android family. This is Eric, the staff writer for Inclusive Android. Thanks for listening to the podcast. I hope you enjoy what we're about to do today. Motorola earned my business the hard way when I bought a Motorola Moto G in an emergency. Now, the average life of a phone in my hands is about 12 months, and I think that the record is about 18 months. Until the Moto G, which blew it away. It has recently died after surviving 28 months in my hands, unprecedented. And the only thing I could think about was getting a new one. Now, today we're talking about the Motorola Moto G second edition. And you're probably wondering why we're talking about the second edition and not the third edition. Isn't the second edition a legacy model? And essentially that's true. But I did the research on this and I found out that under the hood, they're substantially the same. In the description section of this tutorial, you can see there's a table that shows you a lot of information about what's actually in each of these phones, the second generation and the third generation. There were two main differences that struck me. The second generation has the stereo speakers facing front, which I have coveted for almost as long as I owned my old Moto G with its mono rear speaker. The third generation replaces the front-facing stereo speakers with the standard mono rear speaker, and it substantially upgrades the cameras. When I looked at this, I discovered that the camera on the back of the third generation, which is a 1080p 13 megapixel camera, shoots video which is not supported by the screen. The screen is only 740p. And then I thought about the idea of streaming Skype video over my data connection at 5 megapixel resolution, and it didn't really appeal to me that much. I wanted the front-facing stereo speakers, and so I made up a whole bunch of other reasons to justify buying the legacy phone. Now, the legacy phone is about 30% cheaper in most markets. And so that was another big selling point for me. Both phones have 1 gigabyte of RAM. The third generation, however, if you buy the rarefied 16 gig storage version, comes with 2 gigabytes of RAM at a substantially higher cost. The extra gigabyte of RAM is not a menial feature, it's actually extremely valuable. And yet, if you want it, you have to pay for it. And there's still the matter of those cameras. I have in my hand a box which contains the Motorola Moto G second edition. And for you, I am now going to break it open and see what is going on inside this box. Now, of course, I should also mention that there will be a device review once I am done. You can look for that to show up sometime a week after this tutorial gets posted. I have just flipped open the lid of my box and I'm pulling out the Moto. It feels very similar in shape to the old Moto G. The camera lens is a little bigger. everything else is substantially the same. The button positions are the same. So you've got your power button at the top right, and below that you have your volume rocker camera on the back, flash. The only substantial difference is the two stereo speakers. There's one at the top and one at the bottom if you are in portrait mode. They feel like little lines, about 2 inches long each. And they're the real stars of the show here. Now, I'm not terribly disappointed with the shape, but I did find that the old Moto G rolled around a little bit on top of my StandScan. I'm actually kind of happy that the things are more or less in the same positions, because it means I don't have to reconfigure my StandScan. However, I am going to have to make my positioning guides a little bit thicker to accommodate that. No problem. Underneath of the Moto, you have... Oh dear. A charging cable. And this charging cable is what? Substantially different. Now, the original, of course, didn't come with a wall adapter, only a data cable. So this now is a charging cable only, not a data cable. Yes, I've just opened it out. And I have to admit that that's a little disappointing. It's not the way I would go. Whatever. I'm winding that up and putting it back in the box. And the rest of the flak is just manuals. Print manuals. Bully. Now, inserting the SIM card. I'm guessing that this works similarly to the way the Classic worked. So I'm pressing down on the back. There's a thumb print on the back of the phone. And I am lifting from the USB. And that does not seem to be doing it. Yeah, oh. Just takes a little more. I'm used to my old Moto that had the back removed so many times that it just popped off without even having to look at it hardly. On the back, once you remove it, you've got three slots. So, one wonders if this is not perhaps the dual SIM edition. Interesting. I have an envelope with a SIM card. Very, very difficult to keep track of these things. They're getting so small. So, place the phone with the headphone jack facing away from you, the USB jack facing towards you, and the back of the phone facing up. There are two identical slots, one on each side of the camera, and another slot at the top by the headphone jack. I'm assuming that these two identical slots are SIM card slots. So, I'm using the slot on the left. The bevel on the SIM card goes away from you, and you slide it towards the camera, and it snaps in So this is in fact a dual SIM phone. That was not in the brochure. Cool. I could put in a SD card, but I won't do that at this time. So you hook the back on at the headphone jack, and then you snap it down all over the phone, all around the edges, and away you go. SIM card in, power on. I'm gonna hold this power button until the phone vibrates. There it goes. Now, I have a substantial advantage. I can see when the screen flickers. And I can tell right now that it's time. Oh, cool. So this beep, I'm assuming that we just heard, is an indicator that it's time to do our accessibility thing. So I am long pressing the button and holding the screen. Well, guess what?
When Explore by Touch is turned on, you can touch the screen to learn what's under your finger. For example, the current screen contains app icons. Find one of them by touching the screen and sliding your finger around.
It seems that the accessibility shortcut does not work by default on this phone, which is a bit of a distraction.
When Explore by Touch is turned on, you can touch the screen to learn what's under your finger. For example, the current screen contains app icons. Find one of them by touching the screen and sliding your finger around.
So, I have had a sighted person cut through the setup screens, and now TalkBack is turned on. And this is the
Play Store. Good. Keep sliding your finger around the screen until you find at least one more icon.
This is the accessibility tutorial, which you are used to seeing.
I'm not actually going to go through all of these screens with you because, unfortunately, this didn't ship with Marshmallow. It shipped with Lollipop 5.02. And if it had, we would really be onto something, but we're not.
Now, to finish up on this, I will say that after we got through the setup screens, we realized that there was a protective film on the screen, and in fairness, it may be that the protective film inhibited us from actually turning on the accessibility using
screen
the
off.
Shortcut. But I have to say that we were not able to get that to work. So for the last thing in this tutorial, what I'm going to do is try to give you a demo of the stereo speakers. So I am going to install Dropbox, wherein I have placed a file that is a song, a piece of music from Tesla's Standing Room Only album, which has terrific stereo separation. And we are going to see if these stereo speakers really live up to expectations. Now, when I went to the Play Store after completing the setup screens, I discovered that my Play Store in this phone is completely inaccessible except for the search box. And I had a terrible panic, And I've started looking for ways to hack the Play Store into this phone so I could use it, and what else might not be accessible, and oh my goodness. And now I went through and looked at the updates, and first there was a security update, which I ran, and second there was the factory update for Marshmallow. So I didn't think I needed to bore you with the details of the update process, but when the update process completed, the phone was completely accessible. Everything that I have tried so far is 100% working, which is pretty awesome. I took some time last night to actually configure my phone in some ways that I like. So when we go and do our listening test today, you're going to hear a different voice than what you heard yesterday. And I hope you like it. Now, we've also got Dropbox on the phone, as promised. So, to give you an idea what these things actually sound like, I am going to fire up
9:19 a.m.
a song.
Device unlocked. Phone.
The reason why
phone.
We're listening to this particular piece is that it has terrific stereo separation, and you're going to be able to hear, using this recording setup, what the stereo separation sounds like
info button.
On this phone.
Double dismiss phone.
So
settings. Application dismiss setting. Dropbox. Application info. Dropbox. Dropbox.
I did this last night and I'm very pleased with the result.
Button unlabeled. Dropbox. 04-the-wave.is.mp3. 8.6 megabytes. Modified 14 years ago.
All right, so we're listening to The Way It Is by Tesla from Standing Room Only. Here we go.
Alert preparing file for streaming. Google Play Music. Landscape. Google Play Music.
So far, so good. I can hear it in my
ringer vibrate
monitoring headset. It sounds quite awesome. We'll just wait for it to pick up a little bit. You're hearing pretty much what I'm hearing, and you can tell that the bass is a little bit low. It's possible that I could adjust that using some sort of settings or get another audio player or something. The volume was at about half, and I have cranked that up to full using that song. And it doesn't peak or clip or anything. So with the considerable deficit of range that this sound system has compared with something like the HTC One M9, it just doesn't have the range, but it has the output and it has the stereo separation, and all things considered, it's one of the best sounding phones that I have ever owned. The rigors of setting this up put the cost up for me. Time is money. And so I feel like maybe it was a little bit more work to get this all going than what it should have been. Now that it's going, and I'm making calls and listening to music and downloading my apps and sorting my app screens and stuff, I've got it up and running, and slotted neatly into my lifestyle. I feel that it was worth the effort, and it was worth buying a legacy phone in order to get the features that this has at the price point. So look for my hardware review. That should be coming up sometime the week after this podcast launches. And I really hope that somebody will do the Motorola Moto G3 as well, because it's also a very popular phone. It's a current phone. And while it wasn't for me, I know that a lot of our community members have it and like it. And so if you have that phone, we look forward to hearing from you with your reviews and opinions. Thank you for listening to Inclusive Android. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. Come back again soon and see us.